Well, now you know how it is at our house. Good morning. Good to see you. That's from The Incredibles. Those are superhero man and wife, so they can do some things that I guess the rest of us can't. But you want to get your outline out today so that you can follow along with our message. And that question that was put up there, shouldn't marriage be for everyone? Well, let's delve into that here. A week or so ago, actor Brad Pitt, known to most if not all of us, sat down on the Today Show and was interviewed by Ann Curry to talk about a local push in the city of New Orleans to have him elected as mayor. You may have heard about this. And Pitt jokingly told Curry, he said, I'm running on the gay marriage, no religion, legalization and taxation of marijuana platform. I don't have a chance. Well, Pitt has previously said that he and Angelina Jolie, who've had, I guess, about six children together, won't get married until it's legal for same-sex couples to tie the knot. And of course, he's referring to same-sex marriage. Well, who knows? If the present trend continues, Brad and Angelie may someday get their wish. Right now, same-sex marriage has been legalized in six of the 50 states. In Massachusetts, now same-sex marriage has been legalized, as in Connecticut and Iowa. And of course, couples are getting married there, same-sex couples. In Vermont, same-sex marriages will begin in just about a week, September 1st of this year. In Maine, same-sex marriages will begin on or around September 14th of this year. There is a vote, however, on the ballot for November, so possibly that could change. In New Hampshire, same-sex marriages will begin on January 1st of 2010. Most national polls show that support for gay marriage is rising in the general public. What do you think about the subject? Just a few months back, Newsweek did a cover story on the religious case for gay marriage. There are many churches that are in support of this. There are churches that are known for being very, very gay friendly. In fact, evangelical churches, churches that call themselves evangelical Bible believing churches that you could walk into that would be very, very similar to what you see here, except there is a great support for gay marriage in and gay unions and the gay lifestyle in those churches. Today is part five in our series, Church Taboos and Sacred Cows. And the title of our message is, What About Same-Sex Marriage? If you're a newcomer to Stony Creek Church, you should know that this is not a church that beats a political drum every week, or any week for that matter. But I am a pastor. I am a teacher of God's Word, the Bible. And as such, I am responsible to educate this congregation about what the Scriptures say on every topic that it addresses. Even if the topic happens to be something controversial or politically incorrect. Now, if you disagree with what I say today, I invite you to listen with an open mind as I exercise my right to free speech. And whether you agree with me or not, I would like you to see how legalizing gay marriage will affect everyone in this room. Now, if you know me, or if you peeked at the outline, you know that I am opposed to legalized gay marriage. But what we are doing here today is not, and I emphasize, not gay bashing. When you see demonstrators with signs that say, "God hates fags," things like that, I want you to know that this sort of animosity towards gay people or any kind of people, any people anywhere, is condemned in Scripture. It is contrary to the Christian gospel. And it is rejected by all genuine followers of Jesus Christ. All human beings, every human being, were created in God's image and therefore must be treated with respect and with dignity and with love, folks. But we can disagree on this issue and on other issues as well. We can do that, but we have to do it in the proper way. Now, you might be thinking, well, what relevance does this issue have to my life, me personally, the way I live my everyday life? I mean, who cares what's going on out in Vermont or San Francisco or even next door behind closed doors, as long as it doesn't affect me directly? Why should I worry about how someone else lives his or her life? Well, today I want you to see not only what Scripture says about the gay lifestyle, but also how this issue affects all of us. And so we're going to answer some questions about gay marriage. First of all, what's wrong with same-sex marriage? The answer to that question is our main idea. The one thing you should remember, if you forget everything else that I say, and if you're taking notes, and hopefully you are, you'll want to write it down, because it goes like this. Same-sex marriage is contrary to God's design for marriage, family, and society. Contrary to God's design. Now, it's often pointed out, you may have heard this on news programs or news magazines or whatever, that gay marriage goes against thousands of years of time-tested tradition, which has always defined marriage as the union between man and woman. It's also pointed out that no civilization on earth has ever raised a generation in same-sex families, that gay marriage has never been accepted by any civilization anywhere or by any religion at any time until recent times. And as far as I know, that's true. But, and here's the crucial thing, folks, these facts in and of themselves are not sufficient for opposing legalized gay marriage. Why? Because very simply, a tradition and history could be wrong. That's not authoritative enough. God's word, however, the Scriptures, is never wrong. Moral values are absolute because they are rooted in God's unchanging nature. They are not subject to the winds of cultural fads or different expressions that we see around us. God instituted marriage between one man and one woman, and one of the primary purposes for marriage is the procreation of children, which is not possible for a gay couple. Look at Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 27, and you can help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. All right, so God tells us right here that one of the main purposes of marriage, of bringing the man and woman together, is the procreation of children. In the New Testament, God informs us that the homosexual practices are unnatural and sinful. Look at Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. It says, it's talking about the history of mankind. Paul says, that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even women turned against the natural way, notice that, the natural way to have sex, and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. When they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. Notice that. Do things that should never be done. That would include not only when this was written, but in 2009. You see, Scripture teaches that this is unnatural, that it is sinful, and God hates sin. He loves the sinner. That's why He loves us. We're all sinners. But He hates sin, and so He doesn't want that to continue with us. The second question, why should I oppose same-sex marriage? Well, I'm going to give you eight reasons here pretty quickly. The first is that same-sex marriage will harm children. Lots of research confirms that to grow up in a healthy environment, kids need a dad and a mom, not two of one and zero of the other. In Scandinavian countries where they have legalized gay unions, half of the children are born out of wedlock. And the institution of marriage has all been but destroyed. Psychologist Dr. James Dobson, he says this, social scientists have been surprisingly consistent in warning against this fractured family. If it continues, almost every child will have several moms and dads, perhaps six or eight grandparents, and dozens of half-siblings. It will be a world where little boys and girls are shuffled from pillar to post in an ever-changing pattern of living arrangements, where huge numbers of them will be raised in foster care homes or living on the street. Imagine an environment where nothing is stable and where people think primarily of themselves and their own self-preservation. So we really have to consider what the fallout of this is for children. Take a look at Jesus' words about harming kids. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, Jesus says, "But if anyone causes one of these little ones who trusts in me to lose faith, it would be better for that person to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around the neck." That's gentle Jesus talking there. Second reason is same-sex marriage will be taught in all the public schools, folks. If the Supreme Court finds, quote unquote, in the Constitution a provision that guarantees same-sex marriage, just as they found the right to an abortion in the Constitution back in 1973, we didn't know it was there, but they said it was there. Even the people that wrote the Constitution didn't know it was there, but they found it in there. Well, if they find in the Constitution that same-sex marriage is guaranteed by the Constitution, textbooks in every public school and in all the states will be required to represent gay marriage as the moral equivalent to traditional marriage. Stories for little children will have to give equal time to depicting gay marriage. Now, if you don't want your child indoctrinated with this kind of immorality, public schools will cease to be a legitimate option for Christians. Now, that certainly affects all of us, either directly or indirectly. Third reason, number three, same-sex marriage will drastically affect adoption and foster care. If you want to take in a foster child, you will be put through sensitivity training to rid you of bias against homosexuality. And if the child you take in shows homosexual tendencies, you will have to affirm that rather than try to steer him or her away from it. Gay couples will be able to adopt children the same way a husband and wife couple does now. In fact, that's already happening. Right now, 14 states allow adoption by gay couples. Florida had a ban on the practice, but that was struck down not too long ago. Family expert Glenn Stanton says this: thousands of published social science, psychological, and medical studies show that children living in fatherless families, on average, suffer dramatically in every important measure of well-being. These children suffer from much higher levels of physical and mental illness, educational failure, poverty, substance abuse, criminal behavior, loneliness, as well as physical and sexual abuse. Children living apart from both biological parents are 8 times more likely to die of maltreatment than children living with their mother and father. And so, Dad, Mom, each of you has an extremely important role to play in the raising of your kids. In the Bible, God repeatedly states that we have a responsibility to care for the fatherless in our society. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Defend the cause of the fatherless." Throughout history, it has been the church that has stemmed the tide of these statistics and has saved so many fatherless children through the establishment of countless orphanages all over the world. But gay marriage will put a stranglehold on that effort. And these stats will get worse. Our nation will be sending countless fatherless children into an immoral environment. Think of the fallout of this. Think of the rise in crime. Think of the rise in divorce and other problems in our society. Reason number four, same-sex marriage will open the door to other marriage alternatives. Ladies, would you mind if your husband had the legal option of marrying another wife besides you? You say, well, as long as I have the legal option to commit murder, maybe so. Well, if marriage is no longer between one man and one woman, the floodgates will be open to polygamous marriages. Things like that have already been litigated. But it will also open the doors to things like group marriages, marriages to children, marriages to animals. You know this will come. You think America has changed so far? Just wait. This kind of thing, I assure you, will happen. It'll affect all of us. Reason number five, same-sex marriage will threaten free speech. After gay marriage was legalized in Canada, it only took a few months for gay activists to get C-250 passed, and that was a bill which criminalizes public statements against homosexuality, punishable for up to 2 years in prison, it was. And the same thing could happen here. In fact, in different countries, there have been people that have been arrested simply for reading the passage that I read a few minutes ago to you out of Romans 1. in a church setting. The same kind of message I'm delivering today, who knows, could put me in prison one day. This kind of thing could be considered hate speech. Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 3 says. You can help me out. It says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to right teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. They will reject the truth and follow strange myths." Number 6, same-sex marriage may be forced on the church. If the Supreme Court rules that same-sex marriage is a constitutional human right, the ACLU will have no trouble arguing that our government is underwriting discrimination by offering tax-exempt status to churches and synagogues that refuse to perform gay weddings. Many churches will have to decide, do we want to fold or do we cave into this? That's not a good alternative. Reason number 7, same-sex marriage threatens the spread of the gospel. From the earliest days of the church, the family has been God's method of passing the torch of faith from one generation to the next, spreading the gospel from house to house. Look at what Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 says. "Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and in spirit you are His. And what does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard yourself. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth." You want godly children, there has to be that faithfulness, that there has to be that strength between man and woman in the home. The devil knows that to ravage the family is to rape the church. Reason number 8, same-sex marriage will be the last straw for the U.S., or it may be the last straw for the U.S. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 about the conditions that will prevail on the earth just prior to His second coming. He says, "When the Son of Man comes again, it will be exactly like the days of Noah. In the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, and getting married until the day that Noah went into the ship. They were not aware of what was happening until the flood came and swept all of them away. This is how it will be when the Son of Man comes again." Sexual immorality moved God to destroy the earth's population with a great flood back in the days of Noah. The whole population, except for one family, was wiped out. Because of sexual immorality, that and violence is what Scripture talks about. But Jesus, in referring to the final consummation of history, He refers only back to marriages. Doesn't say anything about marriage, back to violence, doesn't mention that. And oddly enough, He says that they were not aware of what was going on. They were asleep at the wheel until it was too late. I wonder today if the Church of Jesus Christ is asleep at the wheel, not realizing what is happening here. All right, so those are some reasons. Now, a third question, which we'll wrap things up with on your outline, is what should I do? You say, okay, maybe you're right. What should I do about this? Well, let me suggest some things. Number one, first and foremost, is to pray. Prayer for this sort of thing is commanded in Scripture. Look what 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, says. "First of all, I encourage you to make petitions, prayers, intercessions, and prayers of thanks for all people, for rulers, and for everyone who has authority over us, pray for these people so that we can have a quiet and peaceful life always lived in a godly and reverent way. Notice that. The way we're supposed to pray for our governing officials is that we'll be able to lead this quiet, peaceful life in a godly and reverent way. That's exactly what we're getting at here. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior. He wants all people to be saved and to learn the truth. And so this is something that we should be praying about regularly, folks. We should pray for our president, pray for our legislators, pray for justices on the Supreme Court, the judges across this land, and other governing officials, our governor, and the state legislators. What else should we do? Number two, show God's love to all. This is extremely important. No matter what happens, even the worst case scenario, never resort to hate. The infinite power that is available to us is the love of Christ. The love of Christ conquers all things. This is what won over the Roman Empire, has spread the gospel all over the world. Now, of course, love must be tough as well as tender. Love demands that we courageously stand up and speak the truth, but we also have to do it with love, with gentleness, with compassion. Love demands that we're willing to be misunderstood and to be called names, to be called bigoted and homophobes and all this kind of stuff. Love demands that we're willing to be rejected. Look what Jude chapter, well, it's only one chapter, verses 22 and 23 says. Show mercy to those who have doubts. Save others by snatching them from the fire of hell. Show mercy to others, even though you are afraid that you might be stained by their sinful lives. That tells us that we need to show compassion to people and reach out to them, even if their ways are a lot different from ours. We need to do that because Christ did that for us. Number three, what should I do? Enlighten the misinformed. Notice what we should and should not do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, says this. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. The Lord's servants must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Now you say, okay, well that means I should never talk about this because it's a foolish and stupid argument, right? Wrong. Look what it says. The Lord's servants must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. They should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will believe the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. We are on the side of truth, but the truth has to be defended, folks. God has called each of us to do that. Some people will say, well, the truth can take care of itself. Mm-mm. A lie can go around the world three times before the truth can even get its shoes tied. And we need to defend it. We need to read up on this issue. We need to be informed. One website that you can go to is, you can access this from our website, Focus on the Family at family.org. They've got all kinds of articles and good resources available. Get these resources. And, you know, when you talk with your friends, your neighbors about this, you don't have to become obnoxious, but you can stand up for the truth and speak it in love and with facts rather than just an emotional explosion. Number four, vote pro-traditional marriage. In this country, we have the great privilege and also responsibility of choosing our leaders. It makes a difference who is in the White House, ladies and gentlemen. It makes a difference who sits on the Supreme Court. It makes a difference who's in the Congress, because these laws get passed by these leaders. Know their stand and vote accordingly. Look what James chapter 4, verse 17 says. Whoever knows what is right but doesn't do it is sinning. So we know what's right. We need to do it. Jesus Christ emptied his veins on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and mine, and rose from the dead. He did that for every person. Every person. Every person matters to God. God loves every person. Straight, gay, doesn't matter the color, the race, the background, he loves them all. And he arose bodily from the dead. He did that to save us from our sin. And now he's calling you and me, and he's calling this church to step up to the plate, to take action, to love our neighbor as ourselves by standing up for what's right, refuting what's wrong, and telling people the good news. We're going to close our service here in just a moment or so. I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare themselves for this morning's offering. And the musicians are going to come up and lead us in a closing song. As they do that, let's bow our heads for a moment. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never been saved, but you know you need to be, today can be your day for that. If you'd like more information about how you can become a Christian, or if you'd like prayer or spiritual counsel, I encourage you to come down here after the service. We have our prayer team. We even have our slide up here about our pastoral prayer team. Ron and Mary and Dave are going to be down here on this side. So come on up afterward and spend some time talking with them. And they can help you with your questions and pray with you. Let's ask God's blessing. Lord, thank you for your truth, that you love all people, that your Son died for all of us. Lord, we're no better than anybody else. We're just sinners saved by your grace. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that we would reach out to all people, to show that grace to everyone. And we pray, Father, that we would stand up for what is right, but to do it in a godly way. We give you these gifts, Lord, and we ask that your blessing would be upon them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.